So after 2 days of deliberation, 12 New York jurors have delivered a unanimous verdict in the trial of Donald Trump. In what became known as the hush money trial, they found that the former US president, who was aiming to return to the White House, had falsified business records by concealing a payment to the adult film star Stormy Daniels. Mr. Trump is due to be sentenced on the 11th of July and could face prison. However, legal experts say a fine is the more likely punishment. Just days later, the Republican National Convention is expected to formally nominate him as the party's presidential candidate. It's not his first legal setback. In a civil case, a jury found he had sexually abused the Advice columnist E. Jean Carroll, while a judge ruled that he had falsely inflated the value of his property empire. It is, though, the first time he has been convicted in a criminal trial. Indeed, it's the first time that a former or serving US president has been convicted of a crime. Afterwards, he dismissed the verdict.
This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. I'm a very innocent man. But this was a rigged decision right from day one, with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, was the star witness at the trial. A short time ago, he gave his reaction to the news channel MSNBC.
It's accountability. It's exactly what America needs right now. We need for accountability to be had by all those that break the law. Because as we like to continuously state, no one is above the law. And today's verdict demonstrates that.
Our Washington correspondent Sean Whelan has been following developments. Sean, will you start by bringing us through what happened in court?
Well, it looked like the court was going to finish at 4:30 as usual on Thursday afternoon. It didn't look like we were heading for a conclusion. The judge informed Donald Trump and everybody else who was in the court at about 4:15 they'd be sending the jury home at 4:30. And then at 5:25 came back into the courtroom and says, folks, we have a verdict. We just have to wait a little bit longer for the jurors to fill in the forms correctly, and then they'll come back. So everybody was waiting nervously for about half an hour. The jury came back in, and then they delivered the verdict, ran through all of the 34 counts in less than 2 minutes. That verdict was delivered by the foreman of the jury, who is an Irish immigrant. He's been living in New York since the 1990s. He had a microphone in his hand, and he spoke. 34 indictments or charges, 11 of them related to invoices from Michael Cohen, 11 of them were related to checks that were signed by Donald Trump, and 12 of them were ledger entries related to the Trump Organization on each and every one of those counts of falsifying business documents in the first degree. The jury found him guilty. And in New York, guilty or innocent has to be a verdict decided unanimously. If any one juror had held out, they would not have been able to issue a verdict. So all of the jurors went behind this. And this was faster. This decision was reached faster than most observers expected. As for Donald Trump himself, he had to stand and look at the jury, look at the judge while the verdict was being read out, just like any other prisoner in a criminal court. Jane Rosenberg told the New York Times correspondent who was there, she is the court sketch artist. You'll have seen those kind of court sketches on television reports, because there's no cameras allowed in the courtrooms in New York. But she told the New York Times that Trump closed his eyes as the verdicts were being read, and as the first guilty verdict was delivered, shook his head in the action of no, and carried on keeping his eyes closed, and then came out of the courtroom and said what you played in that clip earlier.
The main prosecution witness was Mr. Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, and we heard that clip from him also a few moments ago. Now, the defense did everything they could to undermine his credibility, but it seems that the jury accepted what he had to say.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Cohen had gone to jail, got a 3-year sentence precisely for this campaign finance violations, because he was the guy who actually paid the money to Stormy Daniels all those years ago. But he had a checkered history, to say the least, with the truth, and had been caught out on numerous occasions of lying under oath in Congress and in other court cases. The lawyers tried to convince the jury that he was even lying to them during this court case. However, as you say, they do seem to have taken all of that on board from the defence, but nevertheless said, yeah, we accept some, at least, of the evidence of Cohen, because it was backed up and corroborated a whole stash of documents. There were some 280, I think, pieces of evidence. Quite a few of those pieces of evidence, documents and recordings, had been supplied to the prosecution by Cohen himself. As he had said on his own podcast many times, I kept the receipts. I gave them to the feds. They can do the prosecutions now. And he had been saying in those podcasts for at least a year now that he was convinced that the jury would find Trump guilty because of the corroborating evidence and corroborating witnesses. There were 19 other witnesses called by the prosecution, and they were able to go through step by step what was done, where and when. People taking checks down to Washington to be signed in the White House dining room by Donald Trump. Evidence like that. Also a document, a key document, setting out the scheme of repayment to Michael Cohen that was drawn up by Jeff McConney, the financial controller of the Trump Organization, held a meeting with Alan Weisselberg, the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, who had suggested grossing up the fees to Michael Cohen to cover his tax liabilities so he would get all the money he was owed, plus extra, plus some bonus payments, plus additional money he needed to pay off a polling company, etc. So there was lots and lots of evidence. It really didn't hinge on Michael Cohen, who was the centerpiece of it all, but he wasn't the critical centerpiece, as he had said he wouldn't be.
Which brings us on to the implications. People might recall that Donald Trump once said he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone without losing his core voters. Does that remain the case, do you think?
Well, we're going to find out over the weeks and months ahead. I mean, the opinion polling is going to be intensive and fascinating over the coming weeks and months, particularly the opinion polls in the six or seven states that are going to decide the outcome of this election, the so-called battleground states or swing states, including Wisconsin, which is the only state currently where Trump is not leading in the opinion polls. He's tied there with President Joe Biden. So it'll be interesting to see what the impact of this case is on that. This is a very tight election, and any loss of support by either of the two candidates is going to be really important. So if this verdict damages Trump in any significant way, then he could be in trouble and he could lose the election. On the other hand, it might be a rallying cry for Trump. You might see people coming to support him and saying, you know what, I'm sick of all this government stuff coming down on people. I'm going to vote for Trump. So it could conceivably play in either direction. So far, the opinion polls have been suggesting that Republican voters would mostly still continue to vote for Trump, but on a 2-to-1 basis. For every two people who say they would back Trump, another one is going to say, well, you know, I might reconsider in the event of a conviction. That was before last night. Now we have an actual conviction. For the first time in American history, a former president has been convicted of a criminal offense. So this is a real issue. This is the new bit of information. Everybody knew about Trump's womanizing. Everybody knew about Trump's dodgy business practices, financial irregularities, et cetera, et cetera. All that information has been out there. And as you say, it hasn't really stopped his charge in the opinion polls here. But now we have something that is new, and that is a criminal conviction. And it makes this election contest now into one between an unpopular incumbent president, Joe Biden, and a convicted criminal.
Fascinating times ahead. Sean, thank you so much for that. That was Sean Whelan, our Washington correspondent.